Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, thanks for listening to DIY for Business. It's Russ and not Greg with you. Greg, we'll just say he's on assignment. We'll go with that. He's unable to join us today. For those of you listening to the other podcast that Greg and I are on, you know he's had some visits recently out to Las Vegas and just got back to some not so great news that he's got to deal with. So thoughts are with Greg, getting through that, and everything's okay, and everything will hopefully be okay, we'll leave it there. Okay, so I'm also gonna say everything's okay. I'm unshaven, as you can tell. Things are crazy in the household here because COVID has entered the building. My wife has COVID, so I am like living in the office. I am sleeping in my office. I'm spending the day in my office. I'm trying to keep air circulation, stay away. So the unshaven thing, it's what you're gonna do. And now I don't get to go work anywhere, but fortunately I get to meet some really cool people here. I started the whole podcasting thing during COVID, right? I hadn't done podcasting, and then COVID comes along, and it was like, I'm loving COVID because I'm getting to meet all these cool people because everybody was available. Everybody was ready to do a podcast, and everybody wanted to talk to somebody. So this is sort of taking me back to the old days. And I am joined today by, and I asked him, I go, how do you say your name? And he said, I'm going to make it easy for you. Guy Messina. Did that work?
That's right. Okay. Messina, that's it.
All right, Guy. Thank you for joining me today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And I'm sure that we're going to have a lot of fun talking to all your listeners.
Yes, we're going to have a great conversation because I was looking forward to this one because this is something, we're going to talk about selling to your current customers, but let's get into it. Let's start with a little background from you, Guy. Tell us about
absolutely
yourself.
Absolutely. So I went to school at New York Military Academy thinking that I was going to go to West Point. And in the middle, I took a course that changed my life. I got the Wall Street Journal very frequently in business law. This is the class that changed everything. And I saw how the Japanese were beating the pants out of the U.S. And I said that, well, we have to be better industrial engineers. So I decided to change West Point for industrial engineering. So as I graduated as an industrial engineering and I was working at a plant, I realized that I didn't like salespeople very much. I thought that they didn't do much. They just called me up and they needed overtime to get some kind of a requirement from some client, and I needed to work all over the weekend. And I said, these people have it so easy. I have to work all the weekend long in order to help them out. Salespeople should be dead. And then I felt that my definition of salespeople was totally wrong, because I felt that it was the people that were really pushing stuff. Like when you go to a store, hey, can we help you? No, 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 no. Leave me alone. I want to buy. And that comes from the first rule of sales. Nobody likes to be sold. We just love to buy. So right. I really started with having this negative opinion of salespeople until I became a management consultant. And after I got the position of the management consultant at the main office, I said, everybody's going to come to me, until my boss said, yeah, Guy, but you first have to sell it. And I said, what? Sales? I don't know anything about sales. And that's the best thing that ever happened to me, because I took a course at IBM with Roy Chitwood. In my book is the number one person that I mentioned. I mentioned many others, but he was the first one that actually changed my mind, because he taught me that sales was a process. And from there on, being an engineer, I said, man, this makes sense that you have to do things in steps. So from there on, I really became passionate in sales. Today, I'm the director for Latin America at Hardy. Hardy is an association that groups together manufacturers and distributors in the HVAC industry, a recurrent sale industry, which is one of the different types of sales that I would like to talk about today. But by being at Hardy, I realized that a lot of people weren't approaching sales the right way, especially distributors. They have the same client over and over buying from you, but they were doing a lot of prospecting. And I said, wow, they're wasting a lot of time. And then I started looking at this process, and I put together a bunch of ideas from other people that helped me. And that's how Money Call came on being. And that's the book that we're also going to talk about. But I think that that's basically how my career has progressed into what I'm doing today. I hope that answers your question.
Oh yeah, totally. So it's interesting you say, you know, like the a light bulb went off, essentially. Yes. I remember a light bulb going off for me when I ran my own company. I was like, well, I'm hustling all the time trying to get sales, trying to find new prospects, trying to find, okay, who can I go to? Who is next, right? Like, where do I find these people? What do? I got to market the heck out of myself to get more people to call me, you know, get some inbounds, get some, you know, outbound going. Like, I was so focused on that. And then I started to get some recurring revenue coming in of regular things. And I'm like, wait a second, if I can do these contracts where they're longer term, then I can have people and more predictable revenue with the, thanks to, you know, hopefully customer loyalty as they keep coming back. Absolutely. And it was like this light bulb that went off of, well, now I know how much I'm going to make this next quarter, because I can sort of figure out I'm going to have at least this many new people coming in. But if I can get some of this predictable stuff, great. I've got my base. This is fantastic.
Absolutely.
And it occurs to me that might not happen for everyone out there.
Absolutely.
And that's the fire you're trying to light, right?
Absolutely. I want people to realize that depending on your industry, you're going to have basically two different types of sales. One, you're going to have to prospect a lot, which is perhaps what you were doing when you shouldn't be doing that. And we'll talk about that. And the second one is one that you don't need to do any prospecting. You just need to understand the science behind it. So let me talk about those.
Give me that. Yeah.
So the first one, let's talk about the one in a long cycle sale. For example, car sales, real estate, software. Those three would probably give everybody an idea that once you buy a car, you're not going to be in the market for the next 5-6 years. Even if you lease, you may be in the market in the next 3 years, but that's not going to be immediate. That's not going to be recurrent. So you're going to be looking for prospects if you're selling cars. If you're in the real estate market, same thing's going to happen. If somebody just bought a house from you, yes, obviously you want them to give you referrals. You want a bunch of other stuff. But at the same time, you know, they're most likely not going to buy in the next 10, 20 or 30 years. They may buy a second home from you. Yes. Could they buy it next month? Could they buy it next year? Yes. But those are exceptions. Normally, you're not going to see that customer in a long time. If you're selling software, an enterprise software, you just sold XYZ company that software, most likely you're going to have to prospect to get somebody else, because that company is out of the market. They're implementing it. They're going to be using it for 5, 10, 15 years. They're out of the market. But now let's go and talk about the other side. Let's talk about a supermarket, something that is easy for everybody to understand. Okay. The supermarket is reactive. They're waiting for the clients to come to them, but it's recurrent sales. Normally, we do 80% of our shopping in one supermarket. We may do some shopping at another one because they don't have exactly what we want, maybe a bit right. healthy or whatever. We go to a different supermarket. But normally, 70 to 80% of our sales, of our purchases, we do at one supermarket. And distribution happens to be one of those recurrent sales businesses. So if you are distributing paper for offices, the same office is going to buy that paper from you every month, every 2 months, every 3 months. If they buy envelopes, they're going to buy that recurrently. Most likely they like the quality, they like the price, they like the service. There's so many things they like. You make it easy, they just call you and say, hey, Russ, may I have the paper for this month? May I have the order that I normally place? Whatever it is, right? Recurrent sales. So when you are selling HVAC equipment, let's talk about air conditioning. If you are the manufacturer, you are selling to the same distributor every month. If you are the distributor, you're selling to the same contractor every month, every week, every three quarters, whatever it is. Frequently, you're selling to the same people. But where does the science come in? Pareto analysis. A lot of people forget about this. And if you are DIY, this is very important. Okay. You need to realize which 20% of your clients are giving you the 80% of your sales. And now most likely those guys are calling you. They like you enough that they're calling Russ all the time. Hey, Russ, I need this. I need that. Yep. But now the gold comes at the 21%, 22, 23, 24, anywhere between 21 and 30%, those guys like you a lot, but most likely they're not calling you, they're calling somebody else first. But you don't know enough about them. You don't know what makes them tick. So they pick you as a second choice. And that's where we do a little bit of market research and understand what is it that they buy, because in the end, nobody likes to be sold. Everybody likes to buy. So let's do an example here. If you go to a store and you want to buy this shirt, most likely they say, how can we help you? And you go, no. I'm just looking. We don't want to be sold. So in reality, nobody sells anything. We help people buy. So if we help our customers buy, what do we need to do? What do you think we need to do, Russ?
I would say we need to, first of all, engage with them, right? We need to reach out, not wait for them.
Exactly. Being proactive.
How do you engage?
The number one thing is you ask a question. Nobody likes to be sold, but they love to buy. So you ask a question, what is it that you buy? And the first thing that you should ask is, hey, Russ, what is it that you like about doing business with us? And shut up. What is it that you like about doing business with us? And then they're going to say, hey, Gee, I really like the fact that you deliver on time every time. Hey, I like your pricing. I like your discounts. I like your training. I like the fact that you honor your warranty better than anybody in the industry. Whatever they say, you jot it down. That's what they buy. Nobody buys products. They buy solutions to problems. So you're not going to hear, we like the brand of air conditioning that you sell. No, they're going to say some of the stuff that we mentioned. We like the way you honor the warranty, the way you deliver. And the worst thing that salespeople do is they say, oh, you like the warranty, great. And then they go into the next question. Big mistake. You don't stop until Ross says, hey, Gee, that's it. So you may mention, hey, we like your delivery. You're always on time. Great, Ross. I'm glad that you appreciate that as a conversation. Besides the delivery, is there something else that you really like about doing business with us? And then he gives you something else. And then whatever he says, you keep going, okay, what else do you like about doing business with us? Until Ross says, hey, Gee, that's about it. That's everything, all right? Until he says, that's it, you don't stop. And then you go into the second question, which is, hey, Russ, so I understand now what you like about doing business with us. I would like to also understand, what is it that you like about doing business with the competition? And shut up. And then they're going to say, you know, I like their prices better than yours. And you would make a big mistake if you tried to defend yourself. This is not a time for discussion. This is a time for learning. You can only learn if you listen. You can only learn if you listen. If you're talking, you're not learning. So if they say, hey, we like their prices better than yours. Hey, great. I appreciate that you're telling me that. And I'm glad that you're finding the prices that you want. Besides prices, what else is it that you like about doing business with the competition? And then they're going to keep telling you, right? And you keep all that information to understand first what they buy. And second, because that's going to help you handle objections later.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Wrong. Because once they said, if they told you something, they can't go back on the word. Salespeople, we're famous for liars. Well, we should be dead. Oh my God, we sell our money, we sell our mother for money, all that stuff. But nobody lies more than clients, you know? So when we say, hey, Russ, you told me that nobody delivers like us, and you're telling me that they're giving you a 1% discount versus my price. Are we talking apples to apples? Is it more convenient with their delivery? Do they always keep it on time? Or is it more costly sometimes when they don't keep the word versus ours? Are you buying the cheapest price or the least costly? Mm. And then Russ goes, yeah, I remember telling you that. It's true. Yeah, I better keep that in mind. You know, just ship it to me. 1% is not a big deal.
Nice.
You see me? So right, if you have the information, you can help. And at the same time, once you got the five key questions, which you're only going to ask once a year, once every 2 years, okay? Then you can go into routine calling because you want to be proactive. Why is it that most companies are not proactive? Any idea, Russ?
I would say, I mean, well, I think there's like 10 reasons that pop into my head all at the same time. But I would say one is they just don't want to do the research. They just don't want to. There's this need, like I was originally, right? Like you look at, oh, new business. I know how to do that. I've done that. And now to get the recurring, you sort of have to think about it. You have to figure it out. Like, what is this? How do I do this system? Like, this is too hard. Let me just make some cold calls.
Exactly. You know? Because first, we are reactive. Like you said before, we love to be called. We want the customer to call us, right? We like to be called. So what's happening when nobody's calling? The sales manager goes, salespeople, pick up the phone and dial, right? And that is a big mistake. Because if you turn Pareto around and you go, okay, so 20% of your clients give you 80% of your sales. But for the salesperson, 20% of your actions give you 80% of your results. So what is the number one action that a good salesperson should be doing? Number one is talking to a customer, because everything else comes from there. You're not going to quote if you're not talking to them. You're not going to follow up on quotes if you're not talking to them. You're not going to find out what is it that they really buy if you're not talking to them. You're not going to know why they stop buying from you if you don't talk to them. So that's the number one thing that we can do.
Right.
But if we do prospecting in a recurrent sales business, again, not in a one in a long time business like real estate and cars, but supermarkets, if we turn them around, or distributors like what we have in our organization, you shouldn't be prospecting because that is wasting a lot of time. What you need to do is the analysis, exactly what you said. Take that 20%. Okay, those guys call me. I don't need to reach out to them. They're going to call me. That's fine. Let's look at the 21% to 30%. Let's see and start doing the five key questions to those guys. And then let's call them recurrently. And their number one question that we could ask after we have the five key questions is, hey, Ross, as I told you before, we want to give you personalized service. And I've noticed from your previous purchases that normally you bought 5 air conditioning units from us every month. But the last 2 months, you haven't bought any. Is there any reason for that? And you shut up. And what's Ross going to say? Hey, I forgot. I don't like your brand anymore. I got them cheaper somewhere else. Whatever information, that's what you're going to get, because that's my new definition for sales. You need to get information. That's what sales is. You're not going to be selling anything. Nobody likes to be sold. Nobody likes to be convinced. If you understand what they buy, now you can make it easy for them to take it away. Hey, Guy, I forgot. I'm glad that you called me. I actually am down on my inventory. I need a couple of units right away. Can you ship them to me? Hey, Guy, you know, I don't like that brand of yours anymore. I found this XYZ brand. They do this and that for me. So that's the reason. Hey, I understand, Ross. Could you tell me a little bit more about what is it that that brand is doing and what is it that you like so much? And then you can talk to your management to see if you can make a parallel to the same thing so you can bring them back. But if you don't make that call soon enough, it's going to be a lot tougher to take that customer away after he's been working with that brand for 2 years. It's right. Easier to take him away back again after you've done that for 2 months. So that is the beauty of recurrent sales. Does that make sense, Russ?
Oh, totally. Totally. And what I'm wondering is, okay, so, you know, you're talking air conditioning units. What if you're already doing that part of the business for them? What if they're like, let's say I'm going to change it. So, you know, I work for the Beeswax, a technology company. We have a ton of different services. There's one particular software that we help out a lot of companies with, FileMaker from Claris. That particular software is, you know, a lot like we're the leaders in that. If somebody thinks about it, they're going to call us, right? Like okay, sure, I'm the marketing guy, but there's nobody better. You know, nobody's going to treat them better, right? So that's where we are. Now, we also do web development, app development. There's other services and areas where we can help a customer. Because I think about the company that I ran for 13 years, and I had one specialty, but I had all these other services as well. When you're doing these phone conversations and you're asking about how they feel about the particular company, but when they have a broad service offering, what do they do then? Are you asking first about how do you feel about this particular service and how we offer that service? Let's talk now about some of these other services that you have.
Right.
You know, okay.
So let's talk about that situation, right?
Perfect.
Because look at distribution, for example, in HVAC. You're talking about companies that sell 15,000 different SKUs. You're talking about a company that provides different type of services, right? So what is the chances that any particular customer is going to remember 15,000 SKUs? Zero. Absolutely zero. That's why when you call them and say, hey, I see that you buy A, and when you buy A, you normally should buy B, but you never buy B from us. Is there any reason for that? The problem with a software like yours, most likely the person who purchases one type of software doesn't have the need for the second one. It is somebody else in the organization that buys that. So let's say you have someone that buys some type of a software, but the one that it's in the app development It's somewhere else in the organization, somewhere maybe in marketing. See?
Right.
So if you talk to the person that bought the original software from you, it'd say, no, I have no need for the app thing. Now you may need to talk to the marketing people. So they can introduce you to the marketing folks, and then it'd be easier for them to buy from you. So it's important to have the depth of knowledge of the people within an organization, because who buys the air conditioning may not be the person that buys the parts for the air conditioning. It may be someone in maintenance that buys that. And if you're talking to the guy that installs new equipment, he's never going to remember about parts. You are going to need to do the research and ask him to introduce you to the other person. So that is the beauty of being proactive. And the number one reason companies are not proactive is because they don't have the right structure. So again, talking about your particular example, you only sell 12 services. That is easy compared to 15,000 SKUs. So if you don't have the right structure, you're going to be set up to be reactive, meaning, hey, everybody here picks up the phone 15 seconds after it rings, and we measure that. That means you're going to measure how reactive you are, because it is the customer that starts the whole process. Why don't you have the right structure so you can change that around and have a department whose only job is to have a limited amount of customers? Because that's the other problem. The structure is not only who calls versus who takes the call, how many customers are you going to handle? Because if in your particular company, you're stretching people too thin, and you have, let's say, I'm imagining you have 1,000 customers, you're not going to be proactive as one salesperson, because 1,000 customers, they're going to be calling you, not all 1,000 at the time, but maybe 100 a day, 50 a day, 25 a day, enough. So you're going to be so busy handling their agenda that you're never going to be able to put your agenda on top. So that's why if you want to be proactive, you need to change the structure, number one, and you need to limit the amount of clients to 100 if you're doing it on the phone. If you're visiting the client, 25 to 30, it's the most that you can have. Otherwise, you stretch the salesperson too thin. Remember, the number one thing that a salesperson can do is talk to a customer. So if he's driving all the time, if he's picking up the phone all the time, he's not being proactive. In order to be proactive, reduce the amount of customers and let them call and ask questions. Does that make sense, Russ?
Oh, totally. Totally. And I'm thinking, you know, so people that have listened to the show know the history, ran my own business for 13 years. And then I advised businesses for about another 13 years or so. And now, I've moved over to the company that I used to use for our software. So it's like, you know, I've seen all these different things. And I'm thinking now what you're talking about, I'm now thinking about in, let's say, the service industry, right? Like I talk to a bunch of companies and help them out with their digital marketing, HVAC installers, roofers, you know, people that are building fences, things like that, right? And so much of their business came from new customers, right? And they had to market to try to pull in those new customers. And I think, you know, if they would figure out a way, like for instance, maintenance plans, or, you know, like there was a lot of companies like handyman, home repairs, contractors like that, who would come up with these home maintenance things, right? It's like, oh, well, call me, I'll be the person to come in and check your water heater and check this and check, you know, and it turned into this recurring revenue model for them. And it was fantastic.
Absolutely.
I could see that for some businesses. What about for others? Like, what about for businesses where there's no clear route to recurring? Like, what do you do for...
Definitely do contractors in that whole chain where you have the manufacturer selling to the distributor, recurrent business. Distributor selling to contractor, recurrent business. Contractor selling to Russ, not recurrent, because you're going to install that air conditioner once every 5 years.
Right.
Once every 10 years, right? So now, in order for you to break that chain, you need to help the contractor get new customers, get new leads. Because again, it's the different type of model, right? He is in the one every 5 years model. Now, every business, once they start, they have to prospect. There's no two ways about it. You have to get new customers before they become recurrent. You have to find them, right? So if even if you are established already in Atlanta as a HVAC distributor, but then you're going to open in South Carolina, you're going to have to prospect for new contractors to want to join and buy from you. Once you've done that, then they can become recurrent. But for the contractor, it will never be recurrent. They are in that first type of business. So yes, there's definitely a component of everything that we do in life that can be recurrent. And let's take contractors as a good example, because I think everybody can realize that whoever installed their air conditioner just sold it to them and they went away. Or they can realize that the guy was smart and said, "Hey, Russ, you probably have warranty on your car, don't you?" And he goes, "Absolutely. What do you need to do in order to keep the warranty on your car?" "I have to take it to the shop frequently, make sure that I change the oil on time, make sure that I change the filters on time, and they keep the warranty going." Beautiful, Russ. That's exactly what we're going to do for you. So we're going to come here every X amount of time, and we have different programs for maintenance, and you can choose which one you want, and we're going to keep that warranty current for you. Would you like that? And you have a choice, and then you're going to say yes or no. But they don't like doing that sale. Right. And that is the kind of sale that is recurrent. Now, is it going to be...
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
A lot less money-wise than the new equipment sale. Of course, it's going to be. But it's what's going to keep you alive in the winter months, because in the winter months, nobody is going to buy a new air conditioner. Even if they need it, they just want the heater to work. Sometimes, and now a lot of units are coming in with the air conditioning and the heating combined. VRF units are becoming really famous, especially with electrification all through the United States. That's going to be the new rage coming along. But until that happens, during the winter time, we're not going to need your services, even if I need a new air conditioner. So what's going to keep you alive is those maintenance contracts. And that's perhaps the best time for you to schedule those, because you're going to have your people available. Probably not the summer months. The summer months, you're going to be changing air conditioning units up and down. But during the winter months, that's the good time to do it. So there's every little business that you can think about. Car sales, even though you buy a car every 5 years, they sell you the maintenance. And they get you hooked. Normally, they say, "We give you 2 years free maintenance. All you have to do is bring it here," right? It's included in the price of the car.
Yep. Okay? Yep.
They get you used to coming in. And the third year, what are they going to do? "Hey, Russ, your car is starting to look old, man. Don't you prefer to having
time,
a new one?"
Time for an upgrade, right?
Right. So again, in every little business, there is going to be some type of recurrent sales, but we need to have the right structure, and then we need to have the right system. Because how many people do you know that systematically calls their customers and says, What do you like about doing business with us? What do you like about doing business with the competition? The third one would be, what percentage of everything you buy do you buy from us? And that is a great question for salespeople and sales managers, because once the customer says, hey, Russ, you know, I only buy about 30% of everything from you. Now the salesperson says, holy cow,
I'm missing out on 70%
anymore. I got 70% chance
of
selling more. And my best advice to those salespeople is, don't worry about the 70%. Think about 1%. Think about getting 1 extra percent at a time, because there's going to be things way out there that perhaps is not exactly what you do best. But in the 1%, 2% field, you can tweak very little of your offering and you're going to get that sale. So if you change your mentality, it helps you tremendously to focus the salespeople, which is something that sales managers need to do. The number one thing a sales manager needs to do is to focus their salespeople. And if you are the owner, you need to focus yourself. And the best way to do it is the 80-20 rule with data. You focus yourself with data, not with intuition, not with, hey, I think Russ is my best customer, I should call him more often. No, use Pareto analysis, 80-20, and find out after the 20% who is in there so you can call them and find out more about helping them. Because in the end, we don't sell anything. We just help people buy. Does that make sense for us?
Totally. Totally. Now, so the theme here also is not just the selling or getting people to buy. It's keeping people, right? Like, so with your analysis, when we talked about a software service, you mentioned, getting internal referrals throughout the organization, right? Going from one person to another. Well, if they're going to give you an internal referral, especially if it's somebody they got to see every day, they don't want to hear, oh man, you referred me to that company. Ugh. So you have to give great service, right? You have to really pay attention to that and do a great job so that you're always, continuously improving the service that you're doing. And I think, and I have a feeling, Guy, you're going to agree with me on this, but I think that follow-up call, those engagement calls afterwards, is just a part of the service.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, you're learning about what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong, especially that question you said earlier about what is my competition? Like, what are they doing right? What are they doing wrong?
And remember, we only do that once every 5 years, every 2 years, or maybe once a year. But the biggest questions is the ones we ask every month. And in order to do that, we need to do research. So before I call you, I need to see what is it that you haven't bought that you used to buy in the last few months. And that research leads me to that question. Hey, Russ, I see that you normally buy 5 units from us. And the last 2 months, you haven't bought any. Any reason for that? Now you're getting feedback. And if that doesn't help you improve your service, it definitely improves you to keep that customer, because if he goes away, the whole thing goes away. And then the second question would be, hey, I'm really happy, Russ. You keep buying every month. And I see that you just bought the 5 units that you buy normally every month last week. But I see that you never buy any piping from us, any refrigerant from us. Is there any reason for that? Hey, Guy, I didn't even know that you had that. Yeah, because remember, we have 15,000 SKUs. That's the number one answer that we get. But if the salesperson doesn't proactively research Ross's purchases and notices that he buys air conditioner, he buys a bunch of other stuff, but he never buys pipes, which you know he needs. He doesn't buy refrigerant, which you know he needs. You should ask, what's going on? 80% of the time, they say, I didn't know about it. The second answer, 10% of the time, is, yeah, I know. We quoted that from you 6 months ago, 5 years ago, whatever time ago, and you guys were too expensive, or we didn't like the quality, whatever it was. But now you're getting the information. So now you can talk to your people and say, hey, guys, if we want the piping business from XYZ customer, We need to improve our cost. We need to improve our price. We need to improve our quality, whatever it is, right, in order to get that. But if you don't have the information, you're not going to help them buy. And that's exactly how we keep customers, by being engaged with them regularly, because they buy regularly. Very right. easy.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, thinking about doing this, I mean, it's bringing down your initial acquisition cost, right? It's predictable revenue, as long as you can keep that customer loyalty, right?
Yes.
It helps you to scale. And like you're talking about the systems earlier, it helps you to be more efficient in your business.
Absolutely.
So you're also saving money because now you're being more efficient in the way that you're delivering these services. Plus, you know, you're also saving money in like what you're talking about with the piping, right? Well, now I can buy more in bulk because I know that I'm going to get these orders on, you know, this, you know, because of the predictability of that, which Absolutely. Is fantastic. Like all of this is great. And the way that we're saying it makes it sound like it's super easy.
Right.
We get that there's complexity around all of this and there's difficulty Absolutely. To get all of this stuff, you know, set up. I mean, it took me, I want to say four years, maybe 5 years before I figured out some sort of recurring revenue for my business that I ran. So it takes time, but always be thinking about it, right? Always trying to figure out like, what can I do? And I think that also comes from your phone calls that you're talking about, right? It's Absolutely. That research. It's the, oh, I should be offering this service. I should be doing that. It's a discovery.
And you don't want to offer anything. That's something that's important. You just ask a question. So, hey, I see that you buy software for this from us, and I'm glad that you do and that you're very happy. Now, do you guys do anything with app software?
Right.
Well, yeah, but it's marketing that does it. You see?
Yeah.
You just ask a question because nobody likes to be sold. So when you offer, people are reluctant. But when you ask a question, people are open.
It's curiosity. It's learning. It's discovering. And the thing is, you're discovering about them, but you could also be discovering about you, which I think is really cool. You, your business, and what you should be offering and how you should. You're also the other thing that I did radio sales for a little while.
Okay.
Right. And I would always, you know, oh, well, you know, the cum of this audience is blah, blah, blah. You know, like, wait, people don't know what these terms mean. You start when you're selling, you're learning from the managers or you're learning from the, you know, project managers or whomever within the company. And you start using these terms that your customers are not. And then
Exactly.
you call them and you're learning these terms of like, oh, they don't call it this, you know, XYZ, they call it ABC. Let's start calling it ABC. Let's change our website. Let's change this. Let's change, you know, everything, all of our materials so that we're talking like the customer talks.
Absolutely.
So there's so much that you can learn and when you're doing these calls and pay attention. So I would say the best way to start this, even though I set it up, is, hey, this is a difficult thing to do. Start by picking up the phone, right? Just start making these calls. You're just learning anyway.
The problem is that what I've seen is a lot of people think it is easy. They call and they start offering stuff and then they run into trouble. And this is something that I don't recommend. I want you to practice with your mirror. I want you to practice with somebody else so you don't make mistakes with the customer. And use the number one rule of Einstein, who said, if you're really good at something, you should make it really simple for people to understand. And that's why when we've been talking, we've made it really simple. And that's what we put in the book, right? Make it really simple. Look how thin the book is. You can read it in, it's 106 pages, and it's a novel. We want people to be in the story so they can implement it the way it has been implemented in so many other companies. We don't want to be rocket scientists, but we want to help you with the right questions to ask. But you need to practice. And in the book, you can see the actual salesperson doing it. They practice with the sales manager until she gets it really well. And that's the time to start making the calls. Because if you make the wrong calls, you're going to alienate your customers. you're going to say, hey, Russ, you know, I really appreciate you as a customer. How can I help you today? That is the worst question anybody can ask. How can I help you today? Why is that the worst question? Because if there's nothing that you need today, you're just going to say, hey, Guy, I'm sorry, but I'm busy. I got 1,000 things and I don't need anything. I'm good. Thank you for calling. Oh, man, that guy, he wastes my time. So he doesn't want to pick up your call next time, you see? But if you have something interesting to say, if you set up the call to make sure that he has 15 minutes for the 5 key questions, because the 5 key questions are going to take at least 15, 20 minutes. But the regular calls, the ones that you're asking, hey, I see that you bought A and you haven't bought it in the last few times, that is a very quick, easy question to ask, and they can answer it in about a minute or so. And if they're interested in what you can do for them, they'll give you more time. But you need to have that down pat. That's why structure, system, you have to have a good system. You can't just make it up. It's not going to show up. You have to have a good system, okay? And then you have to have the right operations. And normally, a business that's been established for 5-10 years, they have good operations. They deliver on time, or most of the time on time. They, when they send you an invoice, it's got the right price. It's got the right amount of units. So operations usually works well. That's why you need to start with the structure and then with the system. That's why that's the cadence. Okay, first step, industrial engineering, right? So that is the science, and it's all here, man. It's all here. Very easy.
Nice. Nice. Well, okay. So the book Money Call, available on Amazon, which talk about distribution, right? Absolutely, fantastic distribution for you. So be sure to check out the book. And what I wanted to do before we leave, though, can you give us those 5 key questions one more time?
Beautiful. So first one is, what is it that you like about doing business with us? Okay. What is it that you like about doing business with the competition? And again, you should go deep with this, because if you just take one answer, you're doing a disservice.
Follow up. Make sure you're asking.
Yeah, because usually the gold comes at number 3 or further. Okay. So they tell you the easy one right off the top, but then the deep one, the one that really gets them, is number 3. And from there on. Okay. So what do you like about doing business with us? What do you like about doing business with the competition? What percentage of everything that you buy from us? What is it that it's really tough for you to get lately that you have not been able to get anywhere else? And usually, especially with all the disruption after COVID, usually there has been something there that you can get your hands on. And the 5th question is very important, especially in our business, because for contractors, a distributor has probably sold to every different type of business there is. But a contractor may be residential, maybe commercial. If he is commercial, he probably never sold to hotels. He probably never sold to a mall, never sold to a shopping center. And he wants to enter a different niche of the market. So your question should be, hey, Mr. Customer, what niche of the market have you been trying to penetrate that you haven't been successful at that perhaps we can help you? And that question takes people outside from the realm of Guy just wants to sell me all the time into Guy wants to help me. Guy wants to take me to the next level. Okay. And there are questions like that that you can ask in any sale. Like, for example, on your app sale. Okay. And you're looking to help someone to make sure that they're having an app that helps them with their customers, may not sell anything. Okay. It just may be able to interact a lot better. And you can say, hey, Guy, we've helped a lot of customers interact with their customers a lot better through an app. Is that something that you guys have thought about before? Have you thought about the strategy on it? Have you thought about how it could help your business? And leave it as a question, and then just have them say, hey, Guy, I never thought that an app could help me interact with my customers. What do you mean? And then that starts a conversation, you see? And it all starts from wanting to help. That should be the number one idea for us. If we want to sell, we just need to want to help. And to help, we need to ask the right questions, like a good doctor. How do doctors sell? They ask you questions. Hey, what is your pain? When was the last time you had it? What were you doing? What did you eat? He asks you questions, and that's what you should be doing. Does that make sense, Russ?
That totally makes sense. That totally makes sense. Except now when the doctors ask me, you know, why do you have that pain? It's like, well, because I woke up. As you can tell, the grays are coming in, you know, just
absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So if somebody that's listening to the show, they get the book, they want to get some additional questions answered. Do you help out folks that have those questions?
Absolutely. Plus, I want to improve on the book, right? I don't want to think that I have the best ideas all the time. I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are going to implement it, that they're going to tell me, hey, we did this and it worked great. Or we asked this question and it opened up a lot of good things for us. So look for me on LinkedIn. Guidse Messina. You're going to see my name written perfectly there. Everybody calls me Guy, though. And Messina, M-E-S-S-I-N-A. You can see it here. Okay. So Guidse Messina on LinkedIn. And I'd be glad to help you out and share some ideas about how to implement the book or what is it that you've done to implement it. I'd be glad to see that. It'd be beautiful for me.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today.
Absolutely, Russ. Thank you.
And thank you for listening and for reviewing, mostly 5 stars, I hope, here at DIY for Business. If most of these topics, they come out of ideas and suggestions from you. So I'm sort of asking you guys one of the 5 questions. What would you like to hear about? What would you like to learn about? We can build an entire show about it. So head over to DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. Leave your suggestions for Greg and I, and we'd be happy to even chat with you to bring you onto the show. Get your questions answered. Again, DIYForBusinessPodcast.com. Check us out on whatever podcast platform you're on. And we're also now over on YouTube. Hey, we just started this this year, and we would love for you to see the faces. You could see people hold up books. You could see what the book looked like. It's fantastic. So head over to our YouTube channel and subscribe and check us out there as well. Thank you again for listening to DIY for Business, where you are not alone.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.